May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So it is good to be with you here today. I hope that what I say is not too controversial, but because I'm just with you for a few more weeks, I'm gonna let it rip. No, don't worry. So maybe many of you have been to quite a few churches in this town. Wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. You know, it's hard to believe that at one time that would have been almost scandalous. We live in a time when there's very little brand or denominational exclusivism. To visit another church is to be open-minded and accepting of diversity. So if you're a visitor here today, welcome. You're open-minded to our diversity. When this boy who grew up in the Mennonite Brethren Church married a Roman Catholic, it wasn't really a big deal. No one questioned it on religious grounds, though I'm sure people in Denise's family questioned her sanity on other grounds. I mean, there were some jokes at the wedding reception around, hey, your people used to burn our people at the stake. But you know, it was all in good fun, just another one of those burning at the stake jokes. Well, joking aside, this kind of laissez-faire approach to religion, to the Christian life, has its upside for sure. I think probably all of us here would agree that needless religious tribalism is something to be avoided. At the same time, and here's where we start getting into some of the deeper waters, the reason that religious tribalism has lost its teeth in Western culture has very little to do with a deep religious insight, like a revolution in our understanding of what unites us. Rather, it has a lot more to do with the fact that religious affiliation has very little emotional hold on us anymore. And it is what we lose when our deep emotional connection to the church fades, and why that matters, that is the subject of this homily. Now, to set the scene or the context, in my last liturgical season with you, I'm focusing on some of the bigger aha moments of the Epiphany season. These are just some of them, though certainly not all of the fundamentals. Indeed, last Sunday's sermon was called The Fundamental Questions. Now, of course, we could go through a whole course on what these fundamentals mean for our daily lives, but we can only pick and choose a few and bring them to light in that most spare of ways that the Anglican homily allows for. Now, if I were to bring us up to date, I would say that 2 weeks ago at the Feast of the Lord's Baptism, really it was about new identity. You are beloved of God. Then last week was about the quest in pursuit of these great questions. Where are you staying? What are you looking for? And that sort of thing. And then today, belonging. Belonging. These things are, of course, all related. Our identity and the journey we're on are fundamentally, there's that word again, shaped by who we do it with, who we belong to. Paul says, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me that there are quarrels among you." What I mean is that each of you says, "I belong to Paul," or "I belong to Apollos," or "I belong to Cephas," or "I belong to Christ." Now, I'm going to get to where Paul is at, I think, but first I have to go in the other direction, and that's going to seem a little weird. I want to say this, and this is probably the controversial part. I do believe that which church we belong to actually matters. So I have no trouble saying I belong to the Anglican Church and not to the Mennonite Brethren Church that is all around us here in Abbotsford, that I grew up in, that I went to the high school that those churches are associated with, and I have many friends in those churches. Putting it most bluntly, I think sometimes at least, there's quite a different Jesus that many pastors in my childhood church preach than the one I try to proclaim Sunday by Sunday, than the one I think most scholars would say is portrayed in the New Testament and then on in the tradition. So, I would say probably many of us here probably do believe this too. Regardless of whether we visit churches from time to time or a lot of the time, we believe and know in our heart that churches stand for different sorts of things. At the same time, deep into the postmodern world, many people are not passionate about that. They don't really care. To bring it into our own setting, most of you are not passionate about what Dirksen preaches, or maybe what Dick Martin preaches, or anybody else that happens to be standing in this spot. And this is not because we're not interested. It's just that we're only interested, if I can put it that way. And we're not hugely emotionally invested in that. And if you ask me why is that the case, we have to go back to this radical notion that underlies what Paul is talking about. If we're honest, we find it disturbing that anyone would claim to belong to anyone else. That sounds like a cult. That sounds like something very strange. And maybe this defines Western culture more than anything. The only person we belong to is ourselves. To belong to another person would smack of subservience, of somehow giving up our personal agency, of not daring to make our own way in the world as individuals. So now maybe you see the reason I had to go in the opposite direction of Paul, at least to start with. What he says presupposes, it assumes something we might have difficulty believing, that we belong to each other. In our society, we think, Paul, you didn't go far enough. We don't need to try and heal what you're talking about, that some belong to this person and some belong to that person. We don't belong to anyone. And this is celebrated in the name of diversity. But, and this is why it's a fundamental, without the reality to which Paul points, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is robbed of its deeper purpose. And the world has no chance of becoming truly united in ways that will help us tackle the fundamental issues of justice. So here's how Epiphany rolls, if I can put it that way. We're made beloved sons and daughters in our baptism so that we can, not just in theory, but in reality, journey, that is, quest through life with brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we can, in truth, belong to each other, that is, it sounds kind of crazy. We're called to be the body of God, the body of Christ in the world. But when we don't have an emotional connection to each other or to the church, when we can just kind of take it or leave it, mostly just leave it, it's because we haven't experienced this deep sense of being brothers and sisters. So when Paul says that he says what he says to the Corinthians, he's not imagining that the emotional connection with the church needs to lessen, but that the emotional connection that has led to the division needs to be healed and handled with a higher emotion, with healing love. The kind of love he will describe later on in the letter in his famous chapter 13, the text that is often chosen, rightly so, by the way, at wedding ceremonies. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. One of the ways that we're most impoverished in the postmodern world, in contrast to the world of Paul's day, is that we don't know how to belong very easily. In Paul's day, people belonged to guilds and clubs and various sorts of organizations, all of which had initiation rites, dues, and expectations of commitment. And there's some of you here that are of a certain age that can remember when civic clubs of all kinds and sorts really, really mattered and formed part of Canadian identity, if you will. And these clubs in Paul's day had as much hold on people as their families did. But our society is one in which we've put all our emotional eggs, almost all, in the nuclear family basket. Now, the nuclear family will always get the lion's share of our emotional attachment. I get that. But by putting all our eggs there, we open ourselves to a great fragility. We suffer from the lack of support that could come from truly having brothers and sisters with whom we can grow and serve and laugh and learn. When we just belong to ourselves and to those in our immediate families, our stories begin and end with ourselves, with us. I also am not naive about all of this. I understand that the very idea of belonging to a church is risky, that it's easy to settle for a non-emotional attachment of convenience to a local church. By caring less, you get hurt less. I get that. And there's many churches in this town that are set up for that very sort of convenience. But if we're going to come to know the joy of Christ, the love of Christ, and know the fulfillment of Christ, we have to reimagine and re-experience connecting and connection. Now, I certainly don't have all the answers to that. It's going to look different in our time and place than maybe it has in the past. And that's for us to discover together. It has to happen organically. I get that. As we open ourselves to spiritual practices together over time. But I believe that wisdom is not to leave, but to, in light of what we've experienced in the past, take the risk again of serving and listening and sharing and learning, even if we don't agree with everything that is being said, or feel super close with certain people. Because it's from these sorts of commitments that resilience grows, that strength comes. Even our nuclear family, this is now one of the hot topics in psychology, the closest relationships we have become healthier when they're not the only thing that defines us. When we have others around us to whom and with whom we're committed. Belonging to each other is the training in love that makes our lives non-defensive and truly open. And the claim of the New Testament is that belonging is not taking away from who we are, but the necessary structure that enables us to thrive, to come into the abundance of Christ's promises. And this is what we see happening in our gospel reading today, where people are very clearly still connected with their nuclear family. Sons of Zebedee is mentioned for a reason. And there's a leaving the boat and going with Jesus. It's not that there would ever not be this connection, that the family still wouldn't be important. But there had to be some break in that for this new thing to start. So today, the week of prayer for Christian unity begins all over the world. But to pray for that unity, it only really matters if we belong. If we don't belong, who cares about unity? So here's a question that can open up your life, maybe even change your life. And it's a question that can lead to a conversation that you have with your partner, your family. Who do you truly belong to? And why? May the Spirit lead you.